Do you have a message? What's your story? What's your experience? Do you want to tell it? Email us at hello@acute.co.ke and let's make this a reality.
Visit our website and make sure to subscribe to get more of our amazing shows. Acute Media. Express yourself.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today we're diving into something that's been making headlines in Kenya lately, and that's public participation in government. We've got a really interesting mix of sources for this deep dive. We've got some news articles from places like Citizen Digital and Capital News, and we even managed to get our hands on an informative fact sheet straight from the Kenyan National Assembly. What really got us interested was this kind of disconnect we're seeing. You've got citizens protesting about the finance bill 2024, saying they feel ignored. And then on the other side, you've got the government claiming they did try to get the public involved, even pointing to input from the private sector.
Right.
So we're going to unpack all of this, try to figure out what's really going on, and hopefully give you something to think about when it comes to citizen engagement in Kenya.
It's fascinating, isn't it? You've got this clash between, well, the ideal of public participation and then the reality on the ground.
Yeah, exactly. And a perfect example of that is the whole finance bill 2024 controversy. You've got Kimani Ichung'wah, he's the National Assembly Majority Leader, speaking at a Kipisa roundtable. And he's actually blaming the private sector for not being vocal enough in their support of the bill.
Now, for those who might not be super familiar with the ins and outs of Kenyan politics, KEPISA stands for the Kenya Private Sector Alliance. It's a pretty powerful group representing businesses all over the country, and they definitely have a say in government policy.
Thanks for clearing that up. So Ichung'wah is basically saying that because the public didn't really trust the government on economic issues, KEPISA support would have carried a lot more weight.
Right, exactly.
Like they needed that extra bit of credibility.
He actually uses this really interesting example to get his point across. Sanitary towels. He's saying that if someone from KEPISA, a business leader, had come out in support of that tax on sanitary towels, people would have been way more likely to believe them than a politician.
Wow. That's a pretty bold statement, and I think it says a lot about how much of a gap there is between the government and the people when it comes to trust.
For sure. And it really makes you wonder, is the government actually listening to the right voices? You know, are they really paying attention to what everyday Kenyans are saying, or are they more interested in what these big groups like KEPISA have to say?
It's a great question. And speaking of Ichung'wah, he's been in the news for another reason, too. He's calling for a brand new public participation law.
Yeah, this is interesting. He's saying the courts are overturning bills all the time because of insufficient public participation.
Yeah.
So his idea is to have this clear law that sets out exactly how the government should be engaging with citizens, almost like a rule book for public participation.
Okay, I see. So almost like a standardized process.
Exactly.
So is this a genuine move to make public participation stronger or just a way to avoid legal challenges in the future?
Well, a well-defined law could definitely help reduce those legal battles. But it does make you wonder if it's really about giving citizens more power or just controlling how things are done.
That makes a lot of sense. And to make things even more interesting, Ichung'wah wants this law to cover decisions at both the national and county levels.
Yeah, that's a huge expansion, isn't it? It means this potential law could impact decisions all across the board.
So, okay, we've got this potential new law on the horizon, but let's step back for a sec and look at the bigger picture here. How important is public participation in Kenyan law? Thankfully, we've got this great fact sheet from the National Assembly, and it spells it all out.
It really emphasizes that public participation isn't just a nice to have. It's actually required by the Constitution.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond Kenyan law, too. Kenya's also signed a bunch of international agreements that stress how important public participation is.
Right. It's not just a local thing.
Not at all.
The fact sheet also does a really good job of explaining why public participation is so important.
Totally. It argues that when citizens are involved, you get better decisions, more effective services, and a government that's more accountable to the people.
And it even lays out all the different ways people can participate. Submitting petitions, giving formal comments, attending public forums, even just talking to government officials.
It's a pretty comprehensive list.
Oh, and one more thing. The fact sheet doesn't shy away from the legal side of things either.
Oh, right.
It reminds us that all these recent court decisions, especially the ones emphasizing public participation, they've made it super important for committees to be really careful about how they do public engagement. If they don't do it right, they could easily face legal challenges.
Makes sense.
So it seems like we've got this real tension between the ideal of public participation, what's in the Constitution and highlighted in this fact sheet, and what's actually happening on the ground.
Absolutely. And that leads to a crucial question. Does any of this resonate with you? Have you ever tried to get your voice heard by the government? What was that experience like?
We'd love to hear your thoughts, because this is where things get really interesting. We've got this article from ICJ Kenya, that's the International Commission of Jurists, and they're arguing that those recent protests over the finance bill are a sign that the system just isn't working the way it should.
Right, and they're saying that public participation, as it is now, is often just a formality. It's more about ticking boxes than actually trying to understand and use what citizens are saying.
Yeah, so almost like going through the motions without any real substance.
Exactly.
And they point to a few big challenges that make it hard for people to participate meaningfully.
Right.
Like not knowing how to participate, having trouble getting information about government decisions. And then there's the digital divide, which prevents a lot of people from engaging online.
Oh, of course. That's a major barrier for so many people.
They also highlight this kind of contradiction that the government says public participation is super important, but then they don't put enough resources into it or make it easy for everyone to be involved.
Yeah, it's like they're saying one thing but doing another.
So we've got this gap between the ideal and the reality. What's the takeaway for our listeners? What do we do with all this?
Well, the ICJ Kenya article suggests a paradigm shift, both in how the government approaches public engagement and how citizens view their own role in the process.
But we're going to have to save that for part two. Stay tuned.
Season 1 of the Kenya's Blueprint, we look at a colossus of an entity, Kenya Cooperative Creameries, KCC. We present the making, the journey, and the breaking of an empire. Weekly episodes on acute.co.ke. Subscribe to get notified once an episode is released.
Picking up where we left off, it sounds like there are some serious challenges when it comes to public participation in Kenya. Everyone says it's important. It's in the Constitution, in international agreements. But actually making it work in practice is a whole other story.
Right. And the finance bill 2024 is a perfect example. On the one hand, you've got Ichungwa saying that even with 14 proposals from the private sector, it still wasn't enough.
Which kind of makes you think, who gets to decide what meaningful participation actually means? Is it just about including specific policies, or is there something more to it, a deeper level of engagement?
That's the key question, isn't it? And then on the other hand, you have a lot of people, especially young people, who are saying they don't feel heard at all. Those protests, you know, they're a form of public participation too, just a more, well, disruptive one.
It's almost like they're saying, we tried doing it the right way and it didn't work, so now we're taking it to the streets.
Exactly. And that's something the ICJ Kenya article really dives into. Like, how do we channel this energy, this desire for change, into something more constructive? They're saying it's not enough to just give people a chance to speak.
Yeah.
The government actually has to be willing to listen and respond.
So how do we move past these surface level things and make public participation really matter?
The ICJ Kenya article has a few ideas. First off, they say transparency is key. The government needs to be way more open about how it makes decisions, make information available and easy for the public to access.
That sounds good, but what would that actually look like?
Well, they could publish things like draft legislation, budget proposals, environmental impact assessments, all that stuff, well before any final decisions are made. And not just bury it on some website somewhere, you know. This information needs to be easy to find, easy to understand, available to everyone.
So like using plain language, maybe translating into local languages?
Exactly. No jargon, keep it simple, and use different formats too. Summaries, infographics, videos, whatever makes it easier for people to engage with.
So transparency is crucial. Got it. What else do they suggest?
Inclusivity. We can't just have token participation. We need spaces where everyone feels comfortable speaking up, especially marginalized communities, the ones who are often left out of the conversation.
And that's where the digital divide becomes a huge problem. If you're only doing things online, you're excluding a huge chunk of the population.
Exactly. So we need to get creative. Community meetings, mobile platforms, maybe radio programs where people can call in and share their views. We need to meet people where they are.
This reminds me of Ichungwa's idea for a new public participation law. Could a well-designed law actually help with some of these issues?
It definitely has the potential, especially if it includes things about transparency and inclusivity and accountability, too.
Yeah.
We need to make sure the government is actually following through on their promises.
But like with any law, the details are really important. there's always a chance it could just become another bureaucratic mess, more red tape, without really fixing the problem.
That's true, and I think it highlights a bigger issue. For any of this to work, there needs to be political will. Those in power need to actually be committed to sharing power, to collaborating with citizens.
So it's almost like we need a fundamental change in mindset.
Right. The government needs to see citizen input as a valuable resource, not something to be afraid of.
And that brings us to the last point from the ICJ Kenya report, which I think is really important.
What's that?
Education.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking about that.
And not just for citizens. They say government officials need to be educated, too, about why public participation is important. They need to learn how to engage with communities and actually use the feedback they get.
So it's about teaching people in power how to facilitate participation.
Exactly.
And they even go further. They say public participation should be part of school curriculums. Start teaching young people about their rights and responsibilities as citizens.
That's a great idea. Maybe if you start young, it becomes natural to engage with the government, demand accountability, help shape your community.
That's the hope. And that's what I find so interesting about this whole thing. There's no one-size-fits-all solution. It's about legal reforms, institutional changes, cultural shifts, and education, all working together.
And it needs both citizens and the government to step up and work together to make it happen. So what stands out to you the most from all this?
I think it's the idea of a paradigm shift, like they talk about. We can't just keep tweaking the system. We need to completely rethink how the government interacts with its people.
It's about recognizing that people aren't just passive, you know? They deserve to be a part of the decision-making process.
Exactly. And the ICJ Kenya report makes a really strong case for why this is so important. When people feel like they have a say, like their voices are being heard, it makes democracy stronger.
It builds trust, it creates a sense of shared ownership, and ultimately everyone benefits.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's a really positive note to end on.
But we're not done yet. In part three, we're going to explore whether this vision of a truly participatory democracy is actually achievable. We'll look at potential roadblocks, real-world examples, and what the future might hold for public participation in Kenya. Stay tuned.
Season 1 of the Kenya's Blueprint, we look at a colossus of an entity, Kenya Cooperative Creameries, KCC. We present the making, the journey, and the breaking of an empire. Weekly episodes on acute.co.ke. Subscribe to get notified once an episode is released.
So we've spent the last two parts really digging into public participation in Kenya. You know, the ideals, the challenges, and some possible solutions. Now let's think about the future for a minute. Is this vision of a truly participatory democracy where citizens are really shaping government decisions, is that actually achievable? Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? And I think it's important to be realistic. There are some real obstacles, things that have been in place for a long time that we need to deal with.
Like what kinds of obstacles?
Well, one of the biggest is just overcoming inertia. You know, the system we have now, even with all its problems, it's been around for a while. You've got vested interests, power structures, bureaucracy, all that stuff. Making real change really hard.
It's like turning a giant ship around, right? It takes time and effort and a lot of people working together.
Exactly. Oh. And don't forget the human element, too. Change can be scary. It can shake things up, challenge the way things have always been done, push people outside their comfort zones.
It's definitely easier to just stick with what you know, even if it's not working that well. But I'm curious, are there any examples, maybe in Kenya or somewhere else, where this kind of participatory approach has actually worked?
Well, absolutely. And I think looking at those success stories can give us some hope. There are so many examples from small towns to entire countries where people have come together to solve problems, come up with new ideas, and create a better future.
Any specific examples come to mind?
Well, one that always stands out is participatory budgeting in Porto Alegre, Brazil. It started back in the 80s, and it's become like a model for citizen engagement. Basically, the residents get to decide how part of the city's budget is spent. They propose projects, they discuss priorities, and they vote on where the money goes.
So it's not just about giving feedback, it's about having actual decision-making power.
Exactly. And it's had amazing results. Porto Alegre has seen big improvements in infrastructure, public services, their quality of life. But even more than that, it's created this strong sense of community, of people being involved in their city.
That's incredible. It shows that this kind of collaborative approach can really work.
Oh, yeah. And there are tons of other examples. Community-run energy projects in Germany, citizen assemblies tackling climate change in Ireland. There's this growing movement towards more inclusive ways of governing.
It seems like people really want something different. They want to be a part of the process, not just have decisions made for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And the ICJ Kenya report really captures that feeling. They asked this really interesting question. What if the government actually made public participation a core part of how it operates, not just a legal box to check?
What if, instead of seeing citizen engagement as a problem, they saw it as an opportunity to learn from people, to use their knowledge and ideas?
Right. And I think that's where the real potential is.
Yeah.
If we can change our mindset, move away from this fear of sharing power, we can achieve amazing things.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought. Public participation isn't just about attending meetings or filling out forms. It's about being an active citizen, staying informed, speaking up, holding your leaders accountable, and working with others to create the kind of society you want to live in.
And remember, your voice matters. Every single person has the power to shape their community and their country. Don't forget that.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into public participation in Kenya. We hope you found it informative and maybe even inspiring. Until next time.
Do you have a message? What's your story? What's your experience? Do you want to tell it? Email us at hello@acute.co.ke and let's make this a reality.
Visit our website and make sure to subscribe to get more of our amazing shows. Acute Media. Express yourself.